listening to WCNO Palm City.
Welcome to the Mindy Molina Show. I'm Mindy Molina, investment advisor representative, licensed insurance agent, and fiduciary. This is a live show, and I'll be here to take your calls at 772-221-1100 with any of your financial concerns. Again, that's 772-221-1100. Good afternoon, friends. This is Mindy Molina, and you are watching the Mindy Molina Show, or listening to the Mindy Molina Show. I'm here with Frank Borelli, my right-hand man and awesome advisor, fiduciary, duly licensed. Frank and I are fiduciaries, duly licensed, fee-only advisors, and we are very proud of that, independent. And today, we are going to be talking about Social Security. Ways to apply for Social Security, what makes you eligible for Social Security, pretty much just anything that we think is practical and that you need to know about Social Security. I know in one of our shows we talked about the history of Social Security and what the future of Social Security might look like. But today we're going to really talk about how you need to navigate Social Security now, and especially as you go into retirement. And I'm going to start by asking Frank to pray for us, as always. And Frank, do we have any
public announcements?
No, maybe a verse or something on your heart or our heart that might come to mind. I'll let you pray. Right. I always put you on the spot.
I've been in John. Of course, I like my utmost for his highest daily. I've been in John. Some intriguing. John 6 was the bread of life, and those words are so powerful. In the Gospel of John, about Jesus said, "You must eat my body and drink my blood." That's a pretty, what brings to my mind when he was saying that is later in John 15, he says, "I am the vine and you are the branches. He that abides in me, I in him, the same brings forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." So
That's
great
blessing.
That's
pretty powerful.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
All right, let's pray.
Amen. Okay.
Mighty Lord in heaven, sovereign of the universe, Lord, you are in control of all things, Lord, and you are seated on your throne, Lord. There's not one thing that surprises you, Lord, and we just humbly come before you and ask for your spirit, for your power and your presence in our lives, in your church, in our country, Lord, your protection over Israel as well, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you might bless this program, that you'd help our listeners, Lord, help us to help them, Lord, and to be a ministry into this lost and dying world where you want to reach souls, Lord. So we're grateful and thankful for this great country and for your gospel. We ask these things all in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Frank. Mm-hmm. And what a segue into this next statement, because you're praying and talking about salvation, but death. Right? With Social Security. So according to Social Security, believe it or not, there is an estimated or approximately 6% of people pay into Social Security, but unfortunately pass away before they ever get to take it. So 6%. I don't know what the numbers are in relation, like
These are some of the struggles and some of the things we're talking about today is like, when do I take Social Security? Am I going to wait till full age and then you take it in the month you get full age and God forbid you
6%.
Die?
I mean, so if 6%, I mean, that's getting pretty close to 10%. But what that number does not include are the people that actually did start taking it and then died soon after, whether it was in a year or 2 years,
benefits,
3 years, it's not going to add up to what they actually contributed. So there is that factor, and that that really is about what when should you take it, and is it worth delaying Social Security, or should you take it right away? And it's always the same answer from me. So if somebody, a stranger, walks up to me and says, "Mindy, when should I start Social Security?" My very next word is always depends.
Yes, that's right.
It depends on your situation.
Different for everybody. And even what you think a year or two before, situation and circumstances may change.
Yeah. And so part of our planning process is identifying when you should take Social Security. What I want for my clients is for them to be able to say, "I am in a good position to retire at this date. I am going to retire at this date. I'm going to start Social Security on this date. And this is
why.
Which
may be different dates.
Yeah, it could be different. But they know why they're doing it. They know why they're starting Social Security at 67 and not 62. Or starting it at 62 and not waiting until 70. So our program, the numbers, everything kind of helps us calculate that. And we're going to dive into that in the show today. And if we don't get through it all, then we'll continue on next week with the topic. So 6% pass away before they ever become eligible to take their Social Security. So there are four factors in determining your Social Security benefits. The first one, Frank, if you're on the same page as me,
Be 62.
You got to be 62 years old.
And?
62 years young. 62 is really not that old anymore.
It's
because I'm getting older, but they say like when 30 was old. That's that song, Strawberry Wine. But 62 is just, people are living a lot longer, and they're so healthy and vibrant. I mean, you have someone who's 85 years old cruising the world. They're still living a really quality life. So 62 is young. It's very young. How long you work? Okay, so you have to have, they say 40 credits.
But 62, that's qualified. Do you have to have, there's other requirements besides 62.
Things. Yeah. Be 62, right? Not 65. 65 is Medicare. Social Security, 62.
That's the earliest you can start without any other complications.
Yeah, we're not going to be talking about disability or ways to claim Social Security benefits in this show today. What we're specifically talking about is retirement.
Average Joe.
Yeah, retirement benefits. Be 62 years old, have paid in for at least 10 years.
40 credits.
40 credits. Basically, 10 years of working and contributing to Social Security. And it says right on the Social Security website, if you look under eligibility, they are tracking it. It says, basically says, don't worry, we're tracking.
As soon as you log in, logged in today and I noticed that, and it tells you you're qualified. It tells you, and you get like a big green check marker or something across the screen telling you that you have met the minimum requirement or eligible.
Perfect. Yeah. So that's good. That's good to know. So you can log in. We're going to talk about what it takes to get logged in. Mm-hmm. So the other thing is this. How long? So there's four factors that determine Social Security benefits. One is how long you work. So this is, we know you're eligible if you turn 62 and you work for 10 years or contribute for 10 years. But how long you work. Now we're talking about how much you're going to get. Depends on how long you contributed, how many years. How much you made each year.
How much you made, right?
How much did you earn? Yep. And inflation factors in with the cost of living increase. And then what age you actually start. So early, if you're going to start early, that means you start it right at 62. But 62 is not what they call full retirement age.
Yeah.
That's when you become eligible to start early. However, full retirement age is going to be a different age. And to make things more complicated, now it's different for everybody depending on what year you were born. So we're going to get into that as well. But this is one thing that I wanted to point out is that, yes, you have those four pieces of the puzzle when they're determining how much you're going to get, right, in benefits. But the other piece of the puzzle is this, is that they take the top, let's say you worked 50 years. They take the top 35 average, the best 35 years of your life, your top earnings, right?
Yeah. Okay.
And that contributes. Go ahead. What were you going to add?
No.
Was that
no? That's good. That's good. We're tracking.
We're tracking. Frank just picked up a chart, and I know when he gets his chart out, there's information going through his mind. So let's talk about full retirement age and how it is
calculated,
right?
Based off your year of birth.
Easy, yeah. It was like, once you turn 65, you're full retirement age. You qualify for the full benefit, and then there's another piece of that too. Why they call it FRA? So when you see FRA, full retirement age, this is like a vocabulary lesson for you. This is a word that you need to know what it means, full retirement age, because it is important to you, than if you're going to be going on or if you're on Social Security. So you can start receiving Social Security retirement benefits as early as 62. However, you're also entitled to the full, you are entitled to the full benefits when you reach that full retirement age. And if you delay taking the benefits from
your full retirement age, FRA.
You can delay it all the way up to age 70, and it will increase each year. So your benefit can increase and increase every year as long as you allow it to delay, which is why a lot of people are tempted to let it continue to grow, essentially, until they need it or they're forced to take it. So we want to help you not wing it, you know, not just let it go until you just are forced to take it. We actually want to help you have a plan and a strategy in place to take advantage of, I don't want to say Social Security. That's like a bad way to say it. Take advantage, because you paid into it. This is your hard-earned income that you are getting back, right? But we want to make sure that you are in the absolute best position.
Yeah, break-even points, I think, is one way to look at it. You know, taking it early when you, so it's a reduced contribution that you're collecting the earlier you take it from full retirement age. And like you said, as you go past full retirement age is your full benefit, 100% of the benefit that you've given to the government. The government will give you more if you wait past full retirement, you get less in the earlier years before full retirement. And so there's an offset there, and, you know, calculating to what age you may, and our software would help us figure out those calculations. You know, those break even points would take a while.
So do you have a calculator?
Even. Yeah.
Frank always comes fully equipped. But that's the good thing about a military man. They're prepared, ready to save the world. Save the day for me. All right. So, well, okay, wait, I'm giving you the calculator back. Okay, I want you to figure out, how old are you if you were born in 1937?
Okay, 203.
Someone's calling my phone. So.
86. If you were born in 1937, today, this year, you would be 86 years old if you were born, you know, today
86.
Or earlier.
86. So then all the way up to 1942.
81.
81. So there's people listening. They're like, I know, because they were born that year. So 81, 86. So you're 80s, right? If you were born in your 80s, then you reached full retirement age at 65 and some months. But it breaks down literally year over year. From 1937, it was 65. 1938, it went to 65 in 2 months. 1939, 65 in 4 months. It's a little tedious.
It's the government.
Right? Yeah. And so all the way up, 1942, 65 in 10 months. So every year, it was a different month that you got to qualify for full retirement age. So that's important.
We just sat with a client that I think was 66 in 10 months was their category. They were born in 59, if you remember.
Yes, exactly.
That's when they were full
retirement. It used to be so simple, you know, like when... It's an even number. When are you eligible for Social Security? 62. Full retirement age. If it were just 67, that would be great. And then we could track it. But instead, we really have to. I don't have this table memorized. So if somebody comes up and asks me, or in a meeting, I'm just like, I don't know. I have to look it up. if you, like he said, if you were born in let's say 1943 to 1954, that was a really good run, right? Because we had one number. How old were you in 1943? What age range would that be? 70s?
Must be 70. Yeah, 1943.
So that was 66. Full retirement age was 66. You turn 66, you get the full retirement benefit.
46 would you be 77-year-old?
Okay. So then once you get to now, when people are qualifying, it's 66 in 2 months, 66 in 4 months, 66
after
in 6 months. It just, you know, it gets a little tedious. So I'm telling you this because, you know, it's not just one shoe fits all. You have to know, based on the year you were born, when you are actually eligible for your full retirement benefit. And go ahead.
Yeah, well, one of the reasons why you're making this point, too, is because there's income restrictions.
Yes.
Right? If you think that you're going to be able to continue to work and collect Social Security, wait a minute, there's a couple of extra burdens.
Right.
That you're going to experience if you didn't know this. This is what we're talking about.
And we want you to maximize it. And so from 1960 and later, so how old are you if you're 1960?
1960 would be, so it's easy math, but we won't get it wrong.
Yeah.
63.
So 63 and younger as of now. 63
right. Well,
and younger.
You know, we're
as
in the
of
middle
now.
Of the year, August, you know.
Subject to change, yes. You, at 67, you're considered full retirement age, okay?
Anybody born 1960 and later,
no,
67
right.
is full retirement age.
No months.
No more
it is
months.
Steady.
Yeah.
If we could keep, if there's anyone listening that's in charge somewhere,
yeah.
Could you make my life easier and just keep it at 67?
So right. Well,
or at
there's
least
already
an even
talk.
Number.
I mean, there's talk in the government because people are living so long and having to pay these benefits out for such a long period of time that there's another talk to extend it.
Yeah.
To extend it further.
Even further. It won't
right.
surprise me.
Like you said, you know, it used to be just 65. Well, that was a change in the law. And now
yeah.
if it's now it's 67, and so the government's saving some money.
Do that. I wonder what the
because they're such good...
I didn't look this up.
Budgeteers.
Yeah. And... Don't take tangents, Frank. I know where you're... I'm just kidding. I wonder what the percentage is of people that actually make it to full retirement age for... I bet it's much higher than 6%. You know, before collecting.
So, but you're thinking that more people wait till full retirement age?
Yeah.
Or older than people who take it early?
So, we've been talking about full retirement age and those words and why they're important. One of the things is this. So, if you take Social Security, yes, you know the answer?
No, this is a live program. We haven't mentioned yet. This is the Mindy Molina Show. You're listening to our live broadcast. If you'd like to call into the station, you can reach us at 772-221-1100. That number again is 772-221-1100. This is the Mindy Molina Show. You could also find us at MindyMolina.com, Twitter, Facebook.
Oh, yes. YouTube. So guess what? We reached over 1,000 subscribers on our YouTube channel. I didn't know that was a big deal, but my kids were pretty pumped about that. They were like, do we have merch? And I was like, do we need merch? Do you know what merch is, Frank?
Yes, I
right?
know. Merchandise.
We got to get some merch.
Merchandise.
So yeah, we're excited. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening and tuning in to WCNO. We're super blessed to be a part of this radio station and just this family here. It's such a blessing to get to be on the show and listen and teach the things that we know that sometimes just we take for granted because we do it every day. But, you know, I know we've impacted a lot of people and we're happy to do it. It's actually very fun. I think Frank and I have a good time. I can't speak for him, but I have fun in here.
It's great.
So, Frank, I'm going to let you talk about one of the big things about
limitations.
This limitation for full retirement age and how that impacts people who still want to work. So if you are working and you say, you know what, who couldn't use?
Might as well start taking
who
my money.
Who couldn't use the
right?
extra money, right? An
extra
$1,200, $1,400, right? So $1,800, whatever you're eligible for at 62 years old, what would happen if you kept working and you started collecting Social Security, Frank?
Yeah. Okay, so if I'm under full retirement age and I exceed $21,240 for every $2 over that limit, $1 is withheld from my benefit. 2-to-1. Every $2 they keep back $1 from your benefit if you're making over $21,240.
So would you consider almost kind of like a penalty, right? If you earn over. Now,
that's not very much money, $21,240 a year. Right?
But it's still
about
income.
A year. Yeah.
It's still income. So I think what you have to understand is that you more than likely, depending on what you're earning, you know, you might have to get a job that pays a little less. It doesn't mean that you can't work when you go onto Social Security, because I know some people have that mindset. It's like this gate happens and no more employment is allowed. You are allowed to work, but you're not you're allowed to earn more.
That's right. They're just going to take from your Social Security benefit. They're going to take money away from your benefit when you exceed the limit.
When you exceed the limit.
In the calendar year, you want to move on to the next part of that?
Yes.
In the calendar year that you turn full retirement age, your limit jumps to $56,520.
Which is a big jump.
But if you exceed that amount, then it's $3 over for every $3 over that limit, $1 is withheld from your benefits. So instead of 2-to-1, it's 3-to-1.
So let me get this straight.
Income restrictions.
You can work, but it's the year that you turn, let's say 67 is my full retirement age, for example.
Mine as well.
67, right? So I decide to take Social Security because I'm going to be 67 that year, but I'm actually 66 when I file because you have to be taking it prior to the full retirement age.
Yep.
Okay. So I start taking the income from Social Security. I'm still working, but I do qualify in that year to be full retirement age. I still am going to be faced with this limit. I'm not held to the $21,000 anymore.
That's right.
However, they're giving me a bigger window of opportunity to make more money.
Mm-hmm.
It's at $56,000. However, that penalty, I'll call it, right? The pain is higher. It went from 2-to-1 to 3-to-1. So you're going to lose a large part of your benefit. The best thing to do if you still want to work, or let's say, and it's all about strategizing, which is what we enjoy, is building that strategy. Let's say that you're on a tight income and you're earning $30,000 a year and you'd like to start Social Security but also keep your job. Well, maybe we can sit down and strategize. Hey, maybe you need to fill this income gap, or how much are you really going to be penalized? Would it be worth it to go ahead and still take the income?
Maybe,
or should
it would,
you just
right?
defer? Maybe we can get you a job making more money. We'll figure it out. But either way, having a strategy. The other thing is, if you're a high income earner, then when you take Social Security becomes about the future and inflation and taking care of yourself in later years than typically it does in those early years, right? So some people feel that pinch early on between like 62 and 67. And then some people, it's more of a focus on Social Security in the later part, like from 67 to age 70.
But this is not the only limitation that we would help you calculate if you're in this situation. It's not only this. You also have the Social Security tax on. They never even used to tax Social Security. Pay income, FICA, federal income tax. You never had to until 4 years ago. Reagan instituted federal income tax on Social Security.
Yes. Yes.
And so there's restrictions too if you're earning – right.
Income, yeah. Yeah, and how Social Security is taxed is based on some thresholds, but it's called, you have to calculate what they call provisional income. I'm not going to dive too deep into it today only because it's pretty involved. But knowing how, part of our process is helping you calculate and minimize also the taxes that you pay in Social Security. A lot of that because how Social Security is taxes are calculated is based on other types of income that you receive. So how you take income from, let's say, your IRAs, how you take income from your Roth IRAs, from rental income, all these other things are going to impact how you're taxed on Social Security. It's not like it is when you're working where it's just how much income did you earn. It doesn't work like that.
That's
provisional
right.
income is calculated different, and then you apply it to these thresholds, and they make it complex so that people like us still have jobs.
Yeah, it's under 32,000. If it's under 32,000, there's no provisional, but over 32,000.
Well, the provisional income, because when you say that, it might make people think, oh, well, as long as I don't earn more than 32,000, my Social Security doesn't get taxed. But that's not true, because you could be getting more income. So you have to understand provisional income is not just income. That is its own calculation. Getting to that number and what that is another
calculation.
But you're exactly right. Yeah. So taxes on Social Security are another headache. Again, a headache that we try to relieve from you and help you understand and navigate. Minimize. No one should pay more in taxes than they are required.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Smart planning.
So socialsecurity.gov. How do we apply for Social Security? Let's talk about some of the things. I was telling Frank before the show, we should call the Social Security number and just see how long it takes us to get through to someone. Why don't you? Yeah, call. You dial the number.
All right.
And let's just see. It's 425. Mm-hmm. So let's see if we can actually get a person on the phone before the show's over at 5 o'clock. It's possible. So you can make wages or what is it called when you make a bet at home? Okay. Place your bets, yes or no, or whatever. Make your guess if you think we're going to get somebody on the phone or not. There it goes. Yeah, play it into the radio.
Social Security employees over the phone.
All right, we're connected. So I'm putting you in charge. So you keep one little ear.
I'm trying to listen
there.
To both. I have to listen to you and the phone at the same time. Okay.
And I'll be throwing things at you like, oh, Frank, that was really impressive. I'm not going to lie with the verse. You just pulled that off. You're such a
which verse?
Anointed man. Yep, that's good. So, okay, what are some of the things you need to be prepared for when you're applying for Social Security, because this can be a giant headache, not just getting someone on the phone, getting an appointment, getting the documentation. It's like you get an appointment, you go there, and then they tell you what you didn't bring and what you need now. And or you know what? Sometimes you go online and it's so smooth. You have your if all of your information lines up with the system and you don't get flagged as, you know, they need more verification. Verifying is so complicated now. But if you're able to get through it and do it online, God love you, because you saved yourself a huge headache. But if you do have to go through that process of providing documentation, and depending on how you're filing your claim, maybe you're filing as a spouse of a deceased husband that you were married to, you know, 10 years ago, it could be complicated. So there are things. Oh, I hear a ring. Is it ringing?
Yeah, we were having complications. I don't know if the cellular connection was good.
I'm going to be really impressed. No, not a live person yet. Okay. So here's some of the things. You want to gather all your required documents before applying. These are some of the things that you might need: a birth certificate, proof of your citizenship, any proof of residency, so like a electric bill. And then there's any other documents that they might require: a divorce decree, if you've ever been divorced, marriage certificates, even old W-2s or tax documents to prove any type of income discrepancies. And yeah, I would say birth certificates, marriage documentation is actually really big, believe it or not. Especially if you're
for women, especially if your name is changed,
spouse, yeah, and or your name is changed, and having all the dates correct. Like, stop what you're doing when you go online and you're applying. Don't just wing it. Don't say, oh, I think it was December 13th. Look it up and make sure you're right, because if you get it wrong online, are going to pay
the back
for
of
it
the line.
After. Yeah, it is just going to take you around. So make sure you have all your documents. And just get it as accurate as possible before you click submit.
And an important point about that is that, you know, to check your Social Security account periodically, like once or twice a year, maybe after you do your taxes, to make sure that your tax records went in accurately. Because every year they get added, you can go online and look at
statement up. So Frank brought his statement in. Yeah. And this is such an awesome thing because, listen, go online and get your statement. If you're 50 years old, go and get it. You don't have to be about to go on Social Security. Let me tell you why. Because remember I said they're tracking it? Well, you need to also be tracking it. Because all it takes is a little typo, and it could impact you for the rest of your life in retirement. Verify that they have the information correct. And these statements are amazing because they lay it out a visual. It's so easy to understand as to how much you're going to get year after year after year that you defer or wait to actually process or start getting Social Security. For example, you're waiting till full retirement age, or waiting until you're 70, or just starting it at 62. It lays it out for you, and it is actually very user friendly. So if you can go again, it's www.ssa, Social Security Administration. That's what it stands for. ssa.gov. SSA.gov. Go on there, log in, get yourself connected to that, and see where you stand. Because that is one of the first things we ask when people come to visit us is, where is your Social Security? What is it going to be? And how can we maximize it? So then you prepare all your documentation. You may need to schedule an appointment, whether you do that online or you call like Frank and I are doing right now, and be patient because we're giving ourselves 30, 20.
Well, there's local offices. 35. We call it the national office. We call it the national line, right?
But I'm pretty sure you have to have an appointment if you go to the local office.
Yeah, I haven't visited. I'm not sure.
So. I haven't either. Maybe we can ask somebody if they answer. If you have to have an appointment to just walk in. The best thing to do is call and make an appointment because, and you can also schedule an appointment for them to call you, which I have found to work the best. So if you get prompted to have someone call you back, typically the person that calls back knows more. I feel like there's some sort of
level,
because I've
competency.
Made these calls a lot, but helping people get on Medicare and Social Security. I have a lot of experience, believe it or not, making these calls. So when you call, if you just hit the number and say, hit the prompts to have them call you back, here's my opinion. I don't have any verification of this. I don't know anyone that works there to verify. But it seems as though the people that actually call you back are more experienced, and maybe there is a kind of like a pyramid,
the people
a hierarchy.
Who answer the phone and the people who call back are not
like
the same.
If you're good enough, you earn the ability to call out instead of having people call you. And I also think that you end up connecting with someone quicker.
And people make mistakes, you know, just because they work for the government and they work at the Social Security Administration, you know, you want to confirm, trust but verify. That was a Reagan, you trust what these people are saying. They're the government speaking to you, but people make mistakes. And sometimes the questions you have may be complicated and they may not understand everything and may give you an incorrect answer.
Yeah, and
so
like you
it's,
were.
It's important that, you know, a lot of times, you know, in the military, I'd always say when it came to fixing helicopters, well, what's your reference? You know, I mean, if they're telling you something about the government, then there should be a reference about how your Social Security works. You know, would you mind sharing where that reference is?
Nice.
How about that, huh?
Yes. Now you sound like an attorney. It's good.
Yeah.
So here's a list of documentation that you may need. I started rattling them off, but then I didn't finish. Birth certificate, your Social Security card, proof of citizenship. And in that case, if you're not born in the United States, which here in Florida, we have a lot of that, your passport, certificate of citizenship or permanent resident card. But keep those documents. Proof of income. You may need to provide documentation of your income, and that can include pay stubs, tax returns, or other evidence of earnings, work history, earnings records.
You would think, right? So, you know, this is an interesting, you know, I worked for the federal government for a long time, and you would think, though, that, you know, you call the Social Security Administration, and you're like, you're talking to the government, and you might think that, well, it's the U.S. government, so they know what my tax records are, right? Like, no, that's not the case. Like, the person who is answering the phone at Social Security does not have access to your tax records.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
I mean, even I was talking to somebody in the United States Army because I had, like, a pay issue one time, right? And so, you know, talking to the people who are processing your pay and the people who were responsible for inputting the record are different people, and they have no idea. It's like it was very, you know, you think you're talking to the government, and they should know, but
so
that's not always the case.
This one, what I just said, work history and earnings records.
Yeah.
Earnings records are what you're going to see when you log in right now. So whether you're retired, like let's just say someone like me, for example, I could log in and see my earnings records that have been registered with the Social Security, and I can verify that they've been input correctly. And then if there is any sort of conflict or something that's not accurate, I can handle it now. And when I probably have, I'm more likely to have verification versus 20 years from now when I'm trying to apply for benefits. So earnings records is something that you want to pay close attention to long before you become eligible for Social Security. Marriage, divorce certificates, medical records. That's if you're applying for disability benefits. Bank account information if you want direct deposit. That's huge. Making sure you have all of that ready to go. Because what would happen if you went for the appointment and you get there and you don't have your routing information and everything you need.
Oh, what a mess.
To set it up. So don't do that to yourself.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, this is a live program. If you'd like to call in, you got questions or comments about Social Security, you'd like to contribute to the program today, please feel free to call in. You can reach us here at the station, Mindy or I, at 772-221-1100. 772-221-1100. We're here taking your calls today on the Mindy Molina Show. You're listening to live WCNO in Palm City.
Thank you, Frank. And also, if you are listening and you want to go on and leave a review, you can at our Google. You can go look up Mindy. It's Mindy with an I-E, Molina, and leave some comments about the show. We've been really trying to bring you as much good information as we can, so we appreciate you listening to WCNO. Yeah. And we're here every Wednesday from 4 to 5.
You know, talking about the diligent pay records, you know, looking at your paycheck to make sure you're being paid accurately as well. Like, I'm telling you, like, I had a pay error. I had errors in my pay in the Army, and I had to try and get it fixed. It was a horrible nightmare. You can imagine with the federal government. So, but, you know, it's like 6.2% is your FICA.
I'm so glad that you just brought this up, because guess what? Huge, huge issue with you can be paying in. There are issues with your employer. Just because you work for an employer doesn't mean that you're actually, in your pay stub might say you're contributing to FICA. But until you log into Social Security and confirm on your own
Social
behalf.
Social Security tax. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What did I say?
FICA. Well, FICA's federal income tax. That's income tax. Yeah,
income
Social
tax.
Security tax.
But Social Security tax. Until you, you look at all your deductions that are coming out of your pay stub. Until you go in and make sure that your stuff is up to date, there's a chance, and this is a horror story, but there are people who have worked for 40 years and their employer was robbing them,
not paying their Social Security. Because you contribute and your employer contributes.
You contributed, but then it never made it. It never made it to Social Security.
So there's this big tax bill.
So guess who?
On the hook?
It's you. At the end of the day, it's you. All right? No one's coming to save the day. It's you. And there are people out there who are not getting the Social Security they're entitled to. And had they been going on to socialsecurity.gov, SSA.gov, and looking at their statement, like Frank is registered in and has it, and they would have recognized that there was a problem. But so pay attention. Don't trust.
Another aspect to this is, are you withholding the right amount?
Yes.
So as you go through your career, like you're with the same employer, you've been with that employer 20 years, you got married, you got kids, like you should have adjusted your withholding, right? You got hired, you were single claiming zero, so maybe you got this big paycheck back, which is a loan to the government for that time. Like, why am I loaning the government? If you get big tax returns, that means I might not be managing my money so well, and I'm letting the government hold that money and pay me back at a later date because you were owed that money throughout the year. You could have that money added into your paycheck every month and then invest it or save it for a rate of return instead of the government giving it to you after April or June or when do you file your taxes?
Micromanaging your own money. It's so important. You have to be
One else is going to do
no
it if you don't.
No one is doing it.
We'll help you if you come sit with us.
Yeah, that's why you need an advisor that's going to coach you and help you and encourage you and hopefully inspire you to do these things and to take control and micromanage your own money, because every little bit that you let go, someone else is getting. That's just how it is. So Social Security and Medicare, are we still on hold?
You were still on hold.
We're still on hold with Social Security. So there is obviously a great correlation between Social Security and Medicare. Social Security, you become eligible at 62. Medicare, you become eligible at 65. And believe it or not, a lot of times people delay starting Social Security until they become eligible for Medicare, because maybe typically it's a spouse. They want to keep working. They want to keep their job so they have those benefits until reaching
age 65.
Cross that gap. I think a lot of people would retire a lot earlier if it...
Because of health insurance.
Yeah. If it wasn't for health insurance costs. So
expensive.
65 is a really big time when people start Social Security. And if you do... So let's say I just did a couple little quick scenarios here. You can enroll at the same time. So if you decide I'm going to enroll for Social Security, apply for Social Security, and enroll in Medicare all at the same time, so at 65. You can do that at the exact same time on SSA.gov. A lot of people do that. So they start, when they start Medicare, they go ahead and start Social Security.
But just realize, as we talked about, you may have income restrictions. You may have income restrictions and tax restrictions, or increased tax burdens and increased restrictions on income. Just be aware if you're not full retirement age.
If you're not fully retired. Yeah, if you're not fully retired.
Full Social Security. Full Social Security age, to be clear.
So then what you're going to do is you're automatically signed up for Part A, but you can you enroll in Part B and your Social Security income at the same time. So then Part B, the payment that you have to make to Medicare to pay for Medicare, Part B, comes out of your Social Security check.
No, that's how most people do it. One less bill you have to worry about.
Exactly. Yeah. The same thing is true for Part D, which pays for prescription plans. You can have that payment deducted from your Social Security income. Okay, well, let's say that you don't want to enroll in Social Security income because you're going to keep working, so you want to wait until your full retirement age to start Social Security, but you do want to go on Medicare. Well, if that's the case, they can't take your Medicare payment out of your Social Security income because you're not getting
it. You haven't started it.
You haven't started it. So they bill you quarterly for 3 months of your Medicare payment. So you would just pay it like a regular bill.
Will they take credit card, you think, or Piggly Wiggly stamps?
Yeah, no.
Probably not.
No. No. They'll take your hard-earned cash, though. They'll deduct it right out of your bank account.
Probably want a routing number and a bank account number,
yeah, you just
right?
need those routing numbers. Okay, so that's Medicare. Let's talk about our claiming strategies, because this is a really big one and something that impacts a lot of people and sometimes confuses people. And even maybe they don't know what they're entitled to. But here's just a few different claiming strategies. What is a claiming strategy? It means when you apply for, it's like, how are you going to apply for your Social Security benefits? For example, a husband and wife. If the wife was the high income earner, it might benefit the husband to get her to apply based off her benefit versus his own. Or typically, spouse will apply off of one or the other. Now,
and the reason you're mentioning this too, because if you file your taxes, which isn't the way you file your taxes, so if you're married filing jointly, these things matter significantly.
Early claiming. All right. Early claiming is when you claim Social Security before your full retirement age. So let's say at 62 and your full retirement age is 67 and you file at 62. That means you're doing an early claiming and you are basically giving up a portion of your entitlement.
Of your full benefit.
Of your full benefit in order to get it a little bit
early. Get it early.
There you go. Full retirement age, we've been beating that nail in the head.
Yeah, it's
hopefully.
After, if you're born after 1960, it's 67 years old to be full. If you're
full retirement.
Born 1960 or later, full retirement is
67. So full retirement age, again, once you meet that, you can collect the full amount of your benefit. So you could have a full-time job making $500,000 a year. Or what is there a limit on how you can claim? Regardless.
For Social Security, it's $160,200. Social Security tax paid on income up to $160,200. Social Security tax paid on income up to.
So what happens if you're making $500,000?
So you have to pay Social Security tax above that, evidently.
Okay.
They're going to take
Let's just
share.
Say you're making $100,000.
It's a percentage up to that amount.
Then you can take, you can still receive. The point is you can work and get your income and you can get your full benefit at the same time. Then that's full retirement age. Delayed claiming. Delayed claiming is when you, even though you are at your full retirement age, you still don't take it and you let it ride because it goes up 8% or 8.33% every single year up to age 70. After at age 70, it doesn't go up anymore. So that's delayed claiming. Spousal claiming. Spousal claiming is when married individuals are able to claim spousal benefits, which allows them to receive up to 50% of their spouse's benefit amount, even if they have no work history or have lower earnings. So I have an example of that one. We'll get into that. Divorced spouse claiming. Divorced individuals who were married for at least 10 years and are currently unmarried, you have to currently be unmarried, may be able to claim benefits based on their ex-spouse's earnings based off their earning history. So if you were married to someone that was a higher income earner than you, but you're unmarried, and I think you have to have been divorced. You have to be divorced for 2 years, too. So you can't be divorced today and then go file. You have to wait 2 years. And you have to have been married 10 years, and you can't get remarried. However, I don't know if you can get remarried and then get divorced again if you have options. Nowadays, figuring it out. Restricted application. This is a really popular one, okay? It's called restricted application. This is when you have individuals born before January 2nd, 1954. They're able to do what's called restricted application. Again, January 2nd, 1954. This strategy is where you claim your spousal benefit, and I'm going to show you share with you an example. But you claim your spousal benefit. So I would claim on my husband's benefit and let my benefit ride up, and then once I got to age 70, I would switch from his benefit to mine, and now mine is so much more. But meanwhile, while it was growing, I was still collecting an income from my spouse. That's called restricted application. Survivor benefit claiming. Surviving spouses, so spouses or ex-spouses, so spouses who have passed. Surviving spouses or surviving ex-spouses may be eligible to claim what are called survivor benefits. So spousal benefits, but now they're called survivor benefits based on the earnings record of their deceased spouse or deceased ex-spouse, which could provide them a higher benefit. So if you are interested in claiming your benefit based on your spouse or your ex because of divorce or because your spouse has passed away, either way, there's a way for you to claim. They're just labeled a little differently. File and suspend. This strategy is used, it used to be really popular, but now it's pretty limited. And it involved where one spouse files for benefits and then immediately suspended them, allowing the other spouse to claim spousal benefits. And then while the spouse is claiming benefits, that on the highest earnings record or the highest earner, then it allows the higher earner to defer and let theirs grow and accumulate, and then they turn it on later on. Again, it's that getting one income and letting the other one ride and then switching over later. All right, filing for retroactive benefits. This is where individuals are eligible for Social Security benefits but delay their claim. They can actually request a lump sum payment for up to 6 months retroactive. So let's say you didn't claim and now you're 63 and you decide, I want to claim. You could apply for the amount you would have got at age 62 and get 6 months payments back. So that's filing for retroactive benefits. And those are all the claiming strategies that I have to go over with you. Are we still on hold?
We're still on hold.
Let's hear it. Let's hear the hold music for Social Security. Is it good? Is it anything good? Oh, there it is. It's 4:48. I wonder how close
we
are.
22 minutes and 47 seconds.
We're 22 minutes in. Okay.
We're at the we're calling the National Social Security Office to see how long it takes to answer the phone. If you're listening to our live program and you'd like to, we've been talking about Social Security today and in its various aspects. If you'd like to call in and contribute or you have any questions, you can reach us here at the station at 772-221-1100. 772-221-1100. You can feel free to reach out to us also at MindyMolina.com on YouTube, Facebook.
Yes.
Twitter,
Instagram. Yeah, all of it. just search up, as my kids say. You know, we say Google this or that. Now some people use Siri or Alexa. Yeah. My kids say search up. So just search up Mindy Molina and you will find us. MindyMolina. So I have this little map and it's like a
wire
maze.
Diagram, a block diagram.
It's a maze, diagram, of how to navigate.
It's got a lot of blocks in it.
A little bit of how to navigate this stuff. So this one that we're looking at is Social Security as a surviving spouse. And I'm just going to go through some of the questions because this is how we, you know, try to help you to figure it out. It's not that we can actually do it. However, we can at least give you good advice and give you tips and be a resource to help you. It's not what you know, it's what you don't know. So the more we can at least introduce concepts to you and ideas to you, the more you at least know what to start researching and where to begin. So in this one, this is Social Security as a surviving spouse. So this is where the income earner has passed away. Now, so that is the question. Has your spouse passed away? Yes. Did a divorced spouse pass away? Say no. Do you have a child collecting dependent care benefits? And this is something else to consider because I actually know a situation like this where the husband is becoming eligible for Social Security. He's going to be 62, might already be, he's in his 60s. But he has young children with a second marriage who are still in school. You know, they're all under their dependents. Right. They're all under 18. When he qualifies for Social Security, they might also be able to apply for benefits.
Right? Yeah. And the thing is, too, I believe now, too, this is very complicated, and you make sure you talk to an expert, but those benefits aren't reduced.
I have to look up more because, I think
there could be two women.
I just
women
came across this like very recently, and I was like.
Or two men, for that matter.
Wait, yeah, because he was having a birthday, and it just a light bulb went off. I'm like, wait, he's going to be going on Social Security. Could his kids get Social Security? So I got to have closure to that
mind. Mindy's following this map.
It's a map.
So every time if you answered the question differently, then you go in a different direction, a different question.
Answer, yes.
It's a block diagram. Yeah.
It's a block diagram, but I'm able to navigate that way, and I can certainly try to help you navigate that way. And then I won't bore you with it because it could get really complicated. One of the most important things, though, what I want to close with this next 10 minutes, unless somebody at Social Security picks up, we'll talk to them. However, what I do want to close with is when do we start taking Social Security? Like we said before, depends. All right, well, what does it depend on?
It really depends.
But it depends on your financial situation and how Social Security fits into your overall retirement strategy, what your long-term plan is. And here, you hear me say it, invest to retire. No income, no retirement. Income is such a giant building block. It is like the foundation of your retirement. And if your investment plan and your Social Security plan isn't planned around your income for the rest of your life, then it doesn't sound like a very good retirement plan to me. Because if your investment plan blows up, which could easily happen with the stock market, could easily happen with the economy or a war, or anything could happen, and the investment plan is no good anymore.
And the other side of that is the expense plan. So making sure you understand and know all of your expenses. And people, every time we sit down with people and go over their expense plan, and the level of detail that we take our clients into, they are surprised oftentimes to realize how much their expenses really are.
It's true.
Because they're just shooting off the hip until you put pen to paper and really write down and analyze what your expenses are every month, and then thinking about your annual expenses and how you pay those annual expenses
those to inflation. Inflation is really big.
So you have all these different bills. You have to calculate these things in order to know how much income I need. You got to know what your expenses are.
Exactly.
Is what we're saying. It's two sides of the coin.
Two sides. So when you delay your benefit, right? So at age 62, I'm looking at an example right now. This is how it can roll up. Not only is it going up 8%, but also there's COLA, cost of living
allowance.
Yeah. So that increases. Goes up. Yeah. Thank you. It goes up. So
there hasn't been much, but since the inflation's been so high, it was huge. It was over 8% last year.
Yeah.
They got big.
And it can really impact you down the road in your later years. So if you start taking Social Security in your 60s, what we're talking about now is what's it going to look like in your 80s? Okay. Yeah. 20 years later. And this is when I see it really starts to matter. All right. So in this example, this person is 62 years old. And if they start, they're only going to get 75% of their PIA, it's called, but what they're entitled to, and that's $1,850. Okay, if they wait until they're 70 to take it, now they're going to get 132%. So they went from getting 75% of what they
from
should
full
get
full retirement age. We're talking about right?
Yep. No, it's 62, so early.
Yeah, well, I'm saying the percentages you're referencing are based
70.
Off of full. Or based off,
oh, right.
or based
yeah,
off
okay.
100 at 66 in
yes.
this case.
75% of your PIA, which is what your full retirement benefit would be. And then when you go down here, and this is based off of if the COLA was 2.8%, and then you get the standard increase of 8%, then your benefit would now be, it would go from $1,850 all the way up to $3,255. And with the COLA, it's $4,060. Okay,
yeah,
that's a huge jump.
That's a huge difference, yeah.
1850 to 4060.
You got to make it to that age.
1850 sounds good. Yeah, it does. But yeah, you also have to make it to that age. So how do we know when it is a good idea? Here's a couple examples. So this is Colleen. Colleen at 62 would have got $1,400. And if she at 67, she gets $2,000. At 70, she gets $2,480. And so if she just takes a straight benefit, it's really just going to be based off of how much money she needs because she's single. So her strategy is going to be very simple. But claiming strategy for Anne
much, a little more complicated.
Is a little more complicated because she's a widow. And so for the Social Security benefit scenario for her is that, one, she could just claim now at 62. Take her strategy. It's $1,237. She'd get that for the rest of her life. Or she could do this restricted application strategy that I talked about before, which is where she takes her survivor benefit based off what her husband earned or based off his earning records, takes a surviving benefit of $1,237 until she's 70 years old. And then she can wait, and at age 70, her benefit will have accumulated because of that example I just showed you between COLA and that 8% roll-up. And now she can switch back to her own benefit, and now she's earning $1,860, which is amazing. And a strategy that a lot of people don't know about. So how much time do we have?
About a minute 45.
All right. Give me one. I can use it. So right. This next example is this. This couple is... they've got $2.5 million in assets. They're dual income earners. They've made about $200,000 a year between the two of them combined, right? So now they're both going to be taking Social Security. If they take Social Security at age 62, based on an income strategy, investment plan, all of it, everything being exactly the same, if they start, and this is with them starting Social Security, by the time they get to age 84, their Social Security is not enough to keep up with inflation of their expenses. And at age 84, they have to start taking money from their investments in order to make up for that gap. Now, if they just waited, yes, early on, if at 62, they would have an extra $1,000 a month in expenditures. But if they wait until 67, they never have to take money. They never end up having to take money from their Social Security benefit or from their investments. Sorry, I'm getting rushed to kind of finish up here. But my point is, it's different for everybody. And that little extra income in the beginning might not be worth it. It might be worth to wait till 67. Well, this is the Mindy Molina Show. I thank you all for listening. I thank you for watching online. And we just pray that you have a blessed day and that you will reach out to us if you need help with Social Security benefits. And remember that God loves you and there's nothing anyone can do about it. Thanks for listening. Join us next week. And remember, if you have any concerns about your financial picture, please reach out to us at 561-729-2778. There's a no obligation consultation. All you have to do is text or call 561-729-2778. Or you can reach us on our website at www.mindymolina.com. Mindy Molina Investments and Insurance has been protecting the retirement of families for 15 years. Information provided by Mindy Molina Investments and Insurance and or its affiliates are for informational purposes only and is not intended to be relied upon as a forecast, research, or investment advice, and is not a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any securities or to adopt any investment strategy. Get your financial report at 561-729-2778. Or you can reach us at www.mindymolina.com.
On the nights when the dark lasts a little bit longer, when the wind and the storm is a little bit stronger, when the fear in my heart digs a little bit deeper, when my